Thank you, Lord, for giving us instruction on how to clothe ourselves, for giving us victory. Help us to understand these words now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, a few weeks ago when we gave the handout of the armor here in the shield, we see the shield of faith covering him and the whole armor which we've gone over. And you see this Roman soldier standing there. And hopefully this has helped you get through the last few weeks and it's changed your life. But you know, what we really like to see is the sword and the helmet, right? That, like, okay, that's really getting to it. Now I'm going to be able to do something. That's what we're getting into today. The shield, or the helmet and the sword. You know, as we've gone over, we Christians are in a battle with the enemy of God, and we are on the front lines, and it's never going to change till we're out of here. You know, sometimes people go through things, and you counsel them, talk with them, and they say, is it going to get any better? I have to be honest and say, I don't know that it's going to get any better, but you will get through it. It doesn't get any better sometime. It hurts. But you will get through it. It's good to have the fellowship of the saints, the Word of God. And God is our strength. You will get through it. And that's why God gives us this armor of God, so that we can withstand the onslaught of the enemy, because it's not going to stop. It will continue on. Did you ever think you were in a good place, like, hey, everything's in order? We're doing well. Everything's in order. And you just have this day of, wow, this is neat. And then the next week, bam, something else comes in. And you say, is it never going to end? No. But you can. You see, that's the greatest miracle in life. To be able to go through the fire with victory at the other end. People think, well, I'm really going through it, you know. I'm just going to stay home, not go to church, because then people ask me how it's going, and I don't want to share with them it's not going well, or I don't want to lie, or, you know, I'm not going to be happy, and they're wondering what's wrong with me, so I'm just going to stay away from fellowship. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Stay away in your time of need of fellowship. Come to church, ask for prayer, be there for one another. That's why we're here. To get through it. To stand. You see, that's what this is all about. He's given us this armor, these spiritual weapons. Verse 11, you have to put the whole armor of God on. Why? So that you and I can stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, our enemy, these principalities, these powers. Man, if we could see the spiritual realm, we would probably faint. There's legions and organization of demons and Satan leading them, all kinds of things going on. There's a battle for souls. Satan wants to fill up hell. God wants to take you to heaven. And then in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and in the evil day, having done all, to stand. You need to withstand this force against you, these battles against you. He wants you to end up standing. God wants you and I to end up standing and not falling. Just like Daniel's friends went through the fire, God didn't take them out. He didn't say, I'll blow out the fire, or I'll throw some water on it. No, there was a fourth walking in the fire with them, and that was like the Son of God. And they came out, and it says, not a hair of their hair was singed, or their clothes burned, or they didn't even smell like smoke. People say, well, you know, this is going to really ruin my life. I'm never going to be the same. No, you're going to be better. The only thing that was gone when they got out of the fire were the cords that bound them. That's what disappears in the fire, the bad things. And we grow, and we mature. We're going to cover two more pieces today, verse 17, the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit. The battle goes on. The devil, his demons are here today, right here in this room attacking. He wants you to fall asleep and not take it to heart. They're right here today. They know no bounds. God is everywhere too. He can have you thinking about lunch right now. And he's saying, good. Or that problem you face. It's right here, the battle. These walls can't stop him. It's on. In these last days, we need to be close in our faith and encouraging one another and putting on the whole armor. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation. Satan loves to attack the mind. If you check your life out, it all starts right here in the brain, in the mind. That's why the Bible talks so much about your mind. Keep your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. It all starts right here. You can walk in here full of victory and hear something, start feeling sorry for yourself, get it in here, and it all changes your day. Satan loves to attack the head. His weapon is to confuse your mind, to confuse your thinking, to tempt you, to tempt me, to bring about doubt and confusion. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. And it isn't something we take off and put on. We dress up and we keep it on. You see, he will attack your mind concerning salvation and concerning the truths of God. You know, like I heard a guy once say, don't let Satan rent space in your head. Don't give him any room. Say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Let's look at one of Paul's other writings, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Turn ahead to 1 Thessalonians, please. First Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Put on the hope of salvation. That's what the helmet does. Put on the helmet. The hope of salvation, our salvation. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We need to be encouraging one another in the Lord about what we have. We have the helmet of salvation on, eternal life in heaven with God. Because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, if you don't put the helmet of salvation on and keep it on, the blows of the enemy will land on your head. And your mind. And get you and I to doubt. Doubt salvation, doubt other things in life. Discouraging you. Taking your hope away. It's the hope of salvation that we wear. It's hard to head out to battle without hope or a weapon. That's what we're covering today. Our hope of salvation and our weapon. When you have a bad day, and maybe you've seemed to let the Lord down, you failed, maybe you've even sinned, the enemy comes in like a flood, doesn't he? Right there, oh, who do you think you are? Think you're a Christian. He will attack your mind, your common sense, and he will tell you, you are not saved. He does this with young Christians especially, new Christians. Hey, you're missing out on life. You're not really saved. Look what you're doing or what you've done. God doesn't love you. Look what you've just done. You're not really going to heaven. You can't just do this and think you're going to heaven. You see, my own understanding, my own reasoning, my common sense would tell me if I'm a good boy, if I have a good day, I'm going to heaven, I deserve it. But if I'm a bad boy, I do a bad thing, I'm not going to heaven. I don't deserve it. And Satan is quick to tell people, you don't deserve it. You know what I've learned to say? You're right, I don't. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I would never make it. Some people have this pride or arrogance or this facade. They try to uphold themselves and make themselves feel righteous. You know, like, you know, I've got to feel like I'm something, or I'm a good person and all. They've got to maintain that. Just admit, like Paul says, I know that in me no good thing dwells. He said that, a servant of the Lord. We're wretches. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? In our flesh, we are nothing good. We've been made righteous in Christ. So don't let Satan get you to doubt, well, I don't know, you know, if I'm going to heaven or if I'm okay, I kind of did something really lousy. You just say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Turn back to Ephesians 2 in the book of Ephesians. You know what it says in my Bible? In Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's what it tells me. It is by grace I am saved, not of works. It is by faith, and that even is not of myself, it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast and think, I deserve it. So when Satan says, you don't deserve it, you can say, you're absolutely right. I don't. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. There's a watered-down gospel and all kinds of weird things out there today. And people just are going for it. A liberal gospel, a gospel of works. And this gets people confused. This is never going to change. The old-time religion, it's good enough for me. This is never going to change. This is the way we're saved. We're no good. This is the way we're changed. A lot of churches like to have people leave feeling good about themselves. That's the worst thing that can be done to a Christian, to feel good about yourself because of you. Then I deserve heaven. I can live any way I want now. Take part in anything I want. I'm a good person. We need to leave here convicted of sin, knowing that without Jesus Christ in my life, I can do absolutely nothing. He said that in the book of John. Then I begin to understand the real grace of God, not the grace to go do whatever I want, the grace that saved me and makes me realize, boy, I am nothing. But with Christ, I can do all things. He's made me righteous. He's changed my life. He's changed my heart. He did it all. It's like going in and having plastic surgery. You come out and say, boy, you look beautiful today. Yeah, but that's not really me. You want to see a picture? He did it. But boy, people like to make people feel good about themselves. We need to humbly walk with our Lord, knowing He is everything, and I need to put on this whole armor if I'm going to make it. Else I'll depend upon myself. Well, I don't need the helmet today. Or I don't need this truth. Or go around spreading the gospel. No, you need the whole armor on. I need the whole armor on. Or we're vulnerable. My own understanding, my own reasoning is not good. God has done everything in my life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us how we become a child of God. To those who believe on His name have the right to be called the sons of God. When I become a believer, oh, I'm adopted into His family. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, we start out condemned. But then he says, he who believes in Him is not condemned. Isn't that great? because we believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. That is so wonderful that he can take a wretch like us. See, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace really understood what it's about. Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. That's really knowing what it's all about. Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. The world sings that. I don't think they understand what they're singing. They're pronouncing themselves guilty. Only Amazing Grace can save you. You see? And then after we're saved, God gives us this armor, and it's all him again, to keep us victorious. If we don't walk with it, if we don't walk in the Spirit, we're going to get slaughtered. But if we do, we can walk through this life in victory, feeling great because our greatness is in him. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy things more in the world than unbelievers do, much more, because I know what God created, and I'm free in the Lord to just enjoy his creation. And I know I'm going to a place that's even going to be more glamorous, you know? And you say, how wonderful to be able to enjoy things and see God and what he did. Whereas people in the world, they're looking for pleasure out of it. But that runs out, doesn't it? And then it's the next thing and the next thing. We're so blessed as Christians. We're so blessed. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1 to 3. Oh, that you would hear, bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, Paul said, I fear for you, the body of Christ. Somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He says, I've taught you, you're Christians, but I have a fear for you. That, and you know, in the church at Corinth, there, he had to reprimand him. There were some bad things going on, sexual immorality, different things going on. He says, I fear that just like the serpent in the garden deceived Eve, that Satan's going to come in and corrupt your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity in the gospel. It's too simple for intellectuals and the wise of the world. You see? We can't allow intellectuals to confuse us. The gospel is true and it's simple. Don't let, he says he's going to corrupt your mind. I fear he's going to corrupt your minds. In other words, Satan would get in your minds and think, well, this is a little deeper than you think. And, you know, this isn't really what this means in the Bible here. We can't let our mind get corrupted by intellectualism or theology or so-called experts. That's why we have the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what that means? That if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to perish, you're going to go to heaven. That's pretty simple. And it's for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. But people dig into this and they make it religion and theology and all. And you start wondering, well, wow, do I really know the Bible? Do I really know the Lord? I hope we're all simple people here this morning. Very simple. He says, I don't want you corrupted. Eve got corrupted. God said, don't eat of the tree. And you know what God meant when he told her that? Don't eat of that tree. Some people read things and say, I wonder what that means. You know what it means? Don't commit fornication. That's what it means. Just ran into that this week. people living together, Christians. Think nothing of it. Praying together. It's horrible out there. What does God say when he says don't do those things? He says exactly what he means. Don't do that. That's sin. You see, it's simplicity. We can't make it more than it is. You know, in Romans 8:1, it says, walk in the, you know, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Just keep walking in the Spirit, obeying God. There's no condemnation. Satan can't come and condemn us because we're standing in the gospel. Our helmet of salvation is on. I'm saved. God saved me. Now, all of these we've read so far the past few weeks are defensive weapons. Now we're getting into the offensive weapon. Don't you like, hey, you're probably saying, but I want something offensive to attack with, to hit with. We got it. The last one. Back to Ephesians 6. Then take the sword of the Spirit, which, and you know what the sword of the Spirit is? The Word of God. That makes Satan flee. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is our spiritual weapon. A material sword pierces the body. A spiritual sword, you know, a spiritual sword pierces the heart. One pierces the body, the other pierces the heart. This, you know, and a sword of the Spirit, it never becomes dull. The more you use it, the sharper it gets, the Word of God. It gets sharper and sharper the more you use it. A physical sword is used to do what? Hurt and kill. A spiritual sword, it wounds to heal and give life. Satan can't stand against the Word of God. He can't deny it. The demons tremble. They know who he is, and they know where they're going. They don't doubt. They just want company, you see. And we need to understand that. They're losers. We're winners. And he cannot stand against the Word. He can stand against you arguing with him, debating, questioning. He'll beat you all the time. But if you use the Word of God, he's dead. He's a goner. Use the Word of God. Whenever we counsel, whenever you counsel, use the Word of God, not what I feel or think. Use the Word of God. People might not listen to it, but then there are arguments with God, not with you. That's what's good when you share the gospel, to use the Word of God. Have this ready. Because then they either believe God or not believe God. It's easy to not believe you. It's easy to not believe me. But the sword of the Spirit can't beat it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when the people heard this, they were what? Cut to the heart. When the true gospel was preached, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Wouldn't you love that if everybody you shared with said that to you right away? What do I need to do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Repent is the first word of the gospel. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Here we are at the beginning of the church in the book of Acts, sharing the gospel. And it said in verse 37, they were cut to the heart. See, I can speak and speak and speak and maybe not make an impression on anybody. But if I share the word of God, and that's why we teach from the word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because every word we share is from God, and it can cut them to the heart. There's probably things you hear every week that just cut your heart and say, oh, that's me. That's good. If you've ever had that happen, you just smile. But it happens every time we hear the word of God. I'm preaching up here, I'm preparing all week, and it cuts me to the heart many times. As long as we're open to knowing that God is now talking to me because it's his word. But if I'm up here giving topical studies, that's probably not going to cut you to the heart. It might make you feel good. You'll leave happy. But is it going to cut you to the heart? Only God's word can cut you to the heart. People that don't teach, now I'm not talking about teaching out of the word of God, I'm talking about teaching the word of God. Because people can teach out of the word of God, but go all over the place and make it mean different things. But when you teach the word of God, that's allowing God to speak to you. It's just like I'm the dummy with this ventriloquist. That's the way it should be. See, I'm the dummy. He's speaking to you. You could get another dummy up here, look totally different, be the same word, because it's God. And that's the way we have to look at it. Every time we're in the Bible study and church and hearing the word of God, God speaking to me and allowing him to cut me to the heart. And so here it saved thousands of people. The first thing they said was, what do we have to do? And he said, repent. Repent, believe, be baptized. That's what God's word says to do. The word of God is sharp. It saves. It's the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you don't have a sword, how can you use it? You better know the word of God. We must know the word of God. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to know the word of God. If we ever say, well, I wish I knew more, then you better get going on knowing more. There's no excuse. Why would you not want to go out to battle with the sword? That's an awful scene, isn't it? Going out to the battle with no sword? Wow. It's so important to know the whole word of God, and that's why we've been given it, so we can use it. If I know his word, I can use it in a lot of situations. You see, the word of God is sharp, and Satan is defeated with the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, turn there, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God, is living and powerful. And it's sharper than any human two-edged sword. See, their swords would be two-edged, so you could slice either way. You could really get into battle with that. It's sharper than that. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can really cut you and me apart. It can separate the emotion and the flesh and the true things of the spirit. There's a lot of emotionalism involved in things. And people can get very emotional. That's not what we want. The word of God can cut through that and get us to where, oh, Yeah, but this is what God says, no matter how I feel. This feels good, sounded pretty good. And you go to work, and Wednesday someone asks, you know, you're talking to someone, say, boy, that was a real great message I heard Wednesday. And they say, oh, yeah, what was it about? And you go, did you ever fall into that place? Because you're not going through the Word of God. You can't point them to the Scriptures. What was it about? And you say, well, I don't know, but it was really emotional. It was really good. Really, really, it was great, and we had a great day. Well, what was it about? You see what it divides? It's something, the Word of God, that you're going to carry with you the rest of your life. It's wonderful. There is an attack on the Word of God today. A lot of people think it's too boring. I can remember becoming Christians, going to church on Monday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And you go for years. And after for a while, you can get into that pattern. Well, I've heard that. But you have to fight the enemy and say, yeah, but I need to hear it again. And you sit through it, and you sit through it. You go through the Bible once, twice, three times, four times. And then you realize, wow, I've grown. Did you ever realize that? Wow, I've been eating good. And man, I'm prepared. And I can give people an answer. Isn't that wonderful? That's the sword of the Spirit. But there's an attack on that today. A lot of people don't want that. They want something more emotional. Well, it isn't going to get you very far in life. We have more of that other stuff, and we are in the worst moral state this country has ever been in. And no one will argue that. Highest divorce rate, sexual immorality, all at the highest, drugs at the highest. Something isn't working out there. Give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. That's what people need, the armor of God. We study it, we use it. It discerns the thoughts of the heart. We take it up, we strap it on. The Roman soldiers would put all their gear on, and they would win and conquer the world. Jesus is our example. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. So Jesus himself is now going into the wilderness, and he's going to be tempted by the devil. Now, when you fast 40 days and 40 nights, you can get very hungry. Try 2 days. See, none of us want to do that, huh? So, you know, I just said this to my wife this morning. Well, you know, we'll fast till I get hungry. You know, I was kind of joking, but it's not bad to fast, but I'm just saying it's very hard. You know, it's very hard to do. And he was hungry. He was hungry and alone. And the tempter came to him. See, Satan likes to get us alone. That's what's good about the fellowship of the saints, praying with one another, being there for one another, studying the Word of God together, praying together. What's good about it is you don't get in these isolated spots where you're open game for the enemy, and he has a field day with your mind. And then on top of that, you have a need, and he was hungry. And this could be anything in your life. His happened to be hungry. And he's just giving us, we have an example here. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. This is when Satan really likes to come in. Hey, you're kind of alone, and you have something going on in your life. Boy, that's a good place to get tempted or attacked. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Hey, if you're really a Christian and there's really a God, then pray for this miracle and let's see you heal today. You see the example here? He's got this need. He's alone. And the enemy comes in and he wants to confuse your mind. and gets you to doubt God. And he comes and he says, well, you know, you're supposed to be all powerful, Jesus. Why don't you get some stone ground bread right here out of these stones? You know, turn these stones into become bread. Now, did Jesus argue with them? And here's Jesus, who would have won the argument. He could have said, get out of here, Satan. But he didn't. What did he do? He used the sword of the Spirit. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, in your weak point, Satan will come and say, go ahead, you deserve it. Go cheat a little or do this. You deserve it. You've been working hard. You're in trouble and you need some relief, you know. And he says, get out of here. And he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, if you seek me first in my righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. That's his promise. That's the word of God. You can count on it. You see? Use the word of God. But if you don't know scripture, how are you going to use the word of God? This was an attack on the flesh. And we know flesh is in three forms: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It happened in the garden, it happened here to Jesus in the wilderness. This is the lust of the flesh. That's where he attacks. Hey, you need this here, go for that. And he used the word of God. And so now he says in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Okay? Now it says, show your divine glory without suffering. You know, Satan even quoted scripture, and he's tempting him with the pride of life now. Hey, you know, spectacularism. Just throw yourself down, you know, from the pinnacle. And because it's written, his angels will keep you charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Go ahead and do that. He quoted scripture. But let's look at that scripture, Psalm 91, verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 11, because this is what the enemy does. And especially today where people challenge scripture. Psalm 91, verse 11. We'll start at verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And then this is where Jesus quoted, where the Satan quoted, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Did you notice he quoted something, but something was missing? He didn't say, to keep you in all your ways. If you're walking according to the will of the Lord and the ways of the Lord, God will take care of you and bear you up. But he kept that out of there. You can go and do anything you want. He didn't misquote it, so we can't say that. He left something out, and people leave things out in Scripture. They don't read things in context. And Satan loves that. You see, he says, Satan said, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hey, you can jump off here. You can act crazy. You can do something out of this world, and people will look up to you, and you can have a lot of pride. No. When God quoted that in Deuteronomy, it was in the book of Psalms, it was about he will keep you in all his ways, in alignment with God's will in your life. You can't just go out and do anything you want. And that's another way Satan works. You know, in Proverbs 16:18, pride cometh before destruction. We don't want to be prideful. And so what did Jesus say to that in verse 7? Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's tempting God when we do things and see if God's going to come through. That's testing God. We're testing his limits. Well, I'm going to do this anyway. Let's see what God does. No, we don't want to do that. Then we get to lust of the eyes. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said, you can only have one master. It's me or mammon, the things of the world. A lot of people go for the world and the riches and the things of the world. And that's what he's really tempting him here with the lust of the eyes, showing him the whole world. All these things, he says, I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Just give yourself to me. And that's what he gives out to people today. Hey, sell your soul to me and I'll give you all of this. And you won't miss out on life. You'll have all this stuff. Just give your soul to me. Sign the lease with me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. He says, get away. Get out of here. And he used the word of God again. He says, it is written, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 10, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Hey, you only have one master in life, and it's got to be God. And you worship him and not possessions or people or things. You worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. What happened? Verse 11, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Victory. Going through a problem today? Do this. And the promise, the devil left him. And not only that, God the Father sent angels to go and minister to him. Once you resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. That's what Jesus did. He used the word of God, and the devil left him. He says, not going to go anywhere here with this person. They know the word of God. I've had enough. Three strikes, I'm out. I'm out of here. And then you're victorious. Isn't it wonderful when you have victory? And you say, oh, I stood with the Lord and look it. He got me through. And not only that, he took care of me and he ministered to me. Let's end right there. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, help us to keep our mind stayed on you and not the things of the world. Put a hunger and thirst in our heart for the word of God. Let it be alive and exciting to us. God, teach us. We want a powerful sword. We don't want the enemy taking any part of our life. We want to defeat him at all times, every attack. Give us strength, wisdom, encouragement, and never let us take the armor of God off. We thank you that we have your word, and it's powerful. It saves. It delivers. It keeps us from sin, as we're told in Psalm 119. Your word keeps us from sinning. How wonderful. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.